The following is a Relevant Radio program and is protected under U.S. copyright laws. This program is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Support Relevant Radio by clicking on the donate icon at www.relevantradio.com.
Hey, it's not too early to be Irish. I'll explain in just a minute. Good morning, I'm Paul Sadek. This is Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's Wednesday, March 16th, 2022, Wednesday of the second week of Lent. In the Missal, it's liturgical year C, cycle 2. Wednesday is a day to pray the glorious mysteries of the Rosary. And right ahead of St. Patrick's Day, we celebrate another Irishman, St. Finian Lobar. He lived in the 6th century, a disciple of St. Columba. Born in Ireland, tradition credits him with founding a church at Innisfallen and a monastery there as well. After a stay in Clonmore, Finian Lobar became abbot of Swords Abbey near Dublin. He may have returned to Clonmore in his later years. He was called Lobar, the leper. He acquired the name when he contracted leprosy from a young boy whom he cured of the disease. St. Finian Lobar died in 560. St. Finian Lobar, pray for us. Let's offer this day to the Lord. My Lord and Father, inspire my thoughts, words, and actions, and accompany them with your aid so that I may undertake all my activities according to your will and out of love for you. I ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. And with Pope Francis, we pray for Christians facing new bioethical challenges. May they continue to defend the dignity of all human life with prayer and action. 10 Minutes with Jesus is a guided meditation on the gospel of the day prepared by a Catholic priest. Here's today's 10 Minutes with Jesus.
My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, and that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask your pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. When I used to live in Rome, I would sometimes help out in work of translation, both in writing and also simultaneous translation for conferences. Since I knew Spanish and also Italian, I would sometimes help out to do translations from those languages into English. And I remember once I was a little nervous because it was one of my first time doing simultaneous translation, and I was going with a team of other translators to help out in a conference in Rome. And when we pulled up at the hotel where this conference was being hosted, we walked in and we presented ourselves as the translators, and the person at the front desk said in Italian, "Traduttore, traditore," which is Italian for translator, traitor. And that's a pretty common quip, that the translator, if he's not careful, can be a kind of traitor because he can twist the original intention in the translation that he makes, right? That it's not faithful to the original. We also have the famous phrase, lost in translation, because sometimes this can happen too, that the original intent of the writer or the speaker is lost through a misinterpretation or through a poor translation or simply through misunderstanding. Jesus, in your life, you didn't have any simultaneous translators, or the disciples weren't dedicated to translating you to other languages. But isn't it true that so often in your teaching, especially in your parables, people didn't get it, right? They didn't understand, or they got lost, or they misinterpreted you. And maybe we feel the same way sometimes when we speak with other people. We can be saying one thing and they can be understanding something else. It's like when you're talking on two different wavelengths, even though you're speaking the same language, it's not resonating. They're not getting it. They're not making sense of it. Jesus, when you speak about your passion, this happens a lot. Several times in the Gospels, we see how you're trying to prepare the apostles, the disciples, for what's going to come, what's going to happen in Jerusalem, your impending death, on the cross. But every time you bring it up, they don't get it. You get lost in translation. We read at the beginning of today's gospel, as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside by themselves, and he said to them on the way, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death, and hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and scourged and crucified, and he will be raised up on the third day." This prophecy of the Passion is something that you bring up on several occasions, Jesus, and it seems like every time it falls on deaf ears. In one instance, we read how they say they did not understand what he was saying, and they were afraid to ask him. In another moment, Matthew says, when they hear this, they were greatly distressed. The impression is that the apostles don't understand or speak your language, Jesus, the language of the cross. In today's gospel, this happens with the mother of James and John, who tradition tells us is Salome, the wife of Zebedee, Mrs. Zebedee, we could say, the mother of the sons of thunder. As soon as you make this prophecy about your passion, which is pretty negative and sobering, the mother of James and John marches right up to you. And she says, we can read, "The mother of the sons of Zebedee approached Jesus with her sons and did him homage, wishing to ask him for something. He said to her, 'What do you wish?' She answered him, 'Command that these sons of mine sit, one at your right and the other at your left, in your kingdom.' Jesus said in reply, 'You do not know what you are asking.'" And then, Jesus, you make this second attempt to introduce her into the language of the cross. You tried already, and they're clearly not listening to you. "Do you wish to drink the cup? Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink?" And they say, "Possumus, we can." "We know, Lord, that this cup is a cup of sacrifice, the chalice of your suffering." And you're inviting the apostles to participate in this, to understand this new way of thinking, this new language of the cross. But do they really get it? Jesus, we can hear you saying to each one of us, "Are you sure you really want to follow me? Are you truly willing to drink from my chalice, the chalice of my fate?" And they say, "Possumus, we can." And so then, Lord, you're telling each one of us, "Okay, if you can, lay yourself down. Lay down your life for the sheep, as I will do. Place yourself at the service of others in joyful sacrifice. Lord, teach me this language of the cross. Teach me to take up the cross and follow you, which means killing off my own selfishness, my own laziness, my tendency to seek comfort." You know, there's a wonderful anecdote I heard about two young boys in Seville, in the southern part of Spain. And as you may know, Seville in the summertime can get extremely hot. So you can imagine these two boys were gypsies. They were kind of nomads. Their family didn't really have a stable home. And their parents would send them out each day to ask for money on the street. And so these two boys, one was about 12, the other was about 8, they're there on a blazing hot summer afternoon in Seville trying to ask for money. But at that time of the day, everybody's inside waiting out the worst part of the heat of the day. And the older boy realizes that the younger boy is really suffering from dehydration. He hasn't had enough to drink. And so he starts to get worried for his younger brother. Well, along comes a woman who takes pity on them and gives them a jar of cold milk. And so the older boy realizes that there's really not enough for both of them. And so he turns to his younger brother and he says, "Let's play a game. In order for this gift of that we have received to enjoy it as much as we can, we'll take turns taking sips. You take a sip, then I'll take a sip. You take a sip, and I'll take a sip. And we'll let this, we can kind of tease this out for as long as we can and enjoy this." And so they began the game. But really, in reality, as they were passing the jar back and forth, this pitcher of milk, the older boy was faking it. He wasn't actually drinking hardly anything. And he allowed his younger brother to basically consume the entire, we could say, gallon of milk, to allow his younger brother to to regain his strength, to be rehydrated. And the older brother hardly drank a thing, even though he was also very thirsty. What an incredible example of self-sacrifice for the sake of another. That is the language of the cross. And that's what Jesus is inviting Mrs. Zebedee and her sons to learn. They're going to learn it with time. But it seems that in this moment, leading up to the Passion, they're still not getting it. It's getting lost in translation. We know, of course, that fast forwarding to the moment of our Lord's Passion on the cross, at least John and his mother, Salome, are there at the foot of the cross. They've managed to understand enough of this language to be there and suffer with our Lord. Of course, perhaps that is because Mary has helped them. If we want to know the language of the cross, if we want to be steeped in this way of thinking, in this mentality of joyful self-sacrifice for the sake of others, let's ask Our Lady to give us this knowledge. She who stood at the foot of the cross can be a good guide for us in these weeks of Lent as we prepare for the great mystery of our Lord's suffering on the cross. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this meditation. I ask your help in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
You'll find more of 10 Minutes with Jesus at RelevantRadio.com and on the Relevant Radio app. It's 15 past the hour on Daybreak. It's Wednesday, March 16th, 2022. I'm Paul Sadek. This is Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Let's begin this day of prayer now as we join with the whole church. We're led by our friends at DivineOffice.org in the Invitatory Psalm and the Office of Readings.
Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will proclaim your praise.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
The Lord's is the earth and all its fullness, the world and all its peoples. It is he who set it on the seas, on the waters he made it firm.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
Who shall climb the mountain of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? The man with clean hands and pure heart, who desires not worthless things, who has not sworn so as to deceive his neighbor.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
He shall receive blessings from the Lord and reward from the God who saves him. Such are the men who seek him, seek the face of the God of Jacob.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
O gates, lift high your heads. Grow higher, ancient doors. Let him enter, the King of glory.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
Who is the King of glory? The Lord, the mighty, the valiant. The Lord, the valiant in war.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
O gates, lift high your heads. Grow higher, ancient doors. Let him enter, the King of glory.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
Who is he, the King of glory? He, the Lord of armies. He is the King of glory.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering.
We groan in pain as we await the redemption of our bodies.
We groan in pain as we await the redemption of our bodies.
I said, I will be watchful of my ways, for fear I should sin with my tongue. I will put a curb on my lips when the wicked man stands before me. I was dumb, silent, and still. His prosperity stirred my grief. My heart was burning within me. At the thought of it, the fire blazed up and my tongue burst into speech. O Lord, you have shown me my end. How short is the length of my days? Now I know how fleeting is my life. You have given me a short span of days. My life is as nothing in your sight. A mere breath, the man who stood so firm. A mere shadow, the man passing by. A mere breath, the riches he hoards, not knowing who will have them.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
We groan in pain as we await the redemption of our bodies.
Hear and answer my prayer, O Lord. Let me not weep in vain.
Hear and answer my prayer, O Lord. Let me not weep in vain.
And now, Lord, what is there to wait for? In you rests all my hope. Set me free from all my sins. Do not make me the taunt of the fool. I was silent, not opening my lips, because this was all your doing. Take away your scourge from me. I am crushed by the blows of your hand. You punish man's sin and correct him. Like the moth, you devour all he treasures. Mortal man is no more than a breath. O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, turn your ear to my cry. Do not be deaf to my tears. In your house I am a passing guest, a pilgrim, like all my fathers. Look away that I may breathe again before I depart to be no more.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Let us pray. Through your Son you taught us, Father, not to be fearful of tomorrow, but to commit our lives to your care. Do not withhold your Spirit from us, but help us find a life of peace after these days of trouble.
Hear and answer my prayer, O Lord. Let me not weep in vain.
I have put all my trust in God's never-failing mercy.
I have put all my trust in God's never-failing mercy.
Why do you boast of your wickedness, you champion of evil, planning ruin all day long, your tongue like a sharpened razor, you master of deceit? You love evil more than good, lies more than truth. You love the destructive word, you tongue of deceit. For this, God will destroy you and remove you forever. He will snatch you from your tent and uproot you from the land of the living. The just shall see and fear. They shall laugh and say, "So this is the man who refused to take God as his stronghold, but trusted in the greatness of his wealth and grew powerful by his crimes." But I am like a growing olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the goodness of God forever and ever. I will thank you forevermore, for this is your doing. I will proclaim that your name is good in the presence of your friends.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Let us pray. Father, you cut down the unfruitful branch for burning, and prune the fertile to make it bear more fruit. Make us grow like laden olive trees in your domain, firmly rooted in the power and mercy of your Son, so that you may gather from us fruit worthy of eternal life.
I have put all my trust in God's never-failing mercy.
Turn back to the Lord and do penance.
Be renewed in heart and spirit.
A reading from the book of Exodus. From the desert of Sin, the whole Israelite community journeyed by stages, as the Lord directed, and encamped at Rephidim. Here there was no water for the people to drink. They quarreled, therefore, with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to a test?" Here then, in their thirst for water, the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "Why did you ever make us leave Egypt? Was it just to have us die here of thirst with our children and our livestock?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? A little more and they will stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Go over there in front of the people, along with some of the elders of Israel, holding in your hand as you go the staff with which you struck the river. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock in Horeb. Strike the rock, and the water will flow from it for the people to drink." This Moses did in the presence of the elders of Israel. The place was called Massah and Meribah because the Israelites quarreled there and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord in our midst or not?" At Rephidim, Amalek came and waged war against Israel. Moses therefore said to Joshua, "Pick out certain men, and tomorrow go out and engage Amalek in battle. I will be standing on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses told him. He engaged Amalek in battle after Moses had climbed to the top of the hill with Aaron and Hur. As long as Moses kept his hands raised up, Israel had the better of the fight. But when he let his hands rest, Amalek had the better of the fight. Moses' hands, however, grew tired, so they put a rock in place for him to sit on. Meanwhile, Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady until sunset. And Joshua mowed down Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this down in a document as something to be remembered, and recite it in the ears of Joshua. I will completely blot out the memory of Amalek from under the heavens." Moses also built an altar there, which he called Yahweh Nisi, for he said, "The Lord takes in hand his banner. The Lord will wage war against Amalek through the centuries." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
With joy, you will draw water from the springs of salvation.
And on that day, you will say, Give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name.
The water I shall give you will become in you a spring, welling up to eternal life.
And on that day, you will say, Give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name.
From the Treatise Against Heresies by St. Irenaeus, Bishop. From the beginning, God created man out of his own generosity. He chose the patriarchs to give them salvation. He took his people in hand, teaching them, unteachable as they were, to follow him. He gave them prophets, accustoming man to bear his spirit and to have communion with God on earth. He who stands in need of no one gave communion with himself to those who need him. Like an architect, he outlined the plan of salvation to those who sought to please him. By his own hand, he gave food in Egypt to those who did not see him. To those who were restless in the desert, he gave a law perfectly suited to them. To those who entered the land of prosperity, he gave a worthy inheritance. He killed the fatted calf for those who turned to him as father and clothed them with the finest garment. In so many ways, he was training the human race to take part in the harmonious song of salvation. For this reason, John in the book of Revelation says, "His voice was as the voice of many waters." The Spirit of God is indeed a multitude of waters, for the Father is rich and great. As the Word passed among all these people, he provided help in generous measure for those who were obedient to him by drawing up a law that was suitable and fitting for every circumstance. He established a law for the people governing the construction of the tabernacle and the building of the temple, the choice of Levites, the sacrifices, the offerings, the rites of purification, and the rest of what belonged to worship. He himself needs none of these things. He is always filled with all that is good. Even before Moses existed, he had within himself every fragrance of all that is pleasing. Yet he sought to teach his people, always ready though they were to return to their idols. Through many acts of indulgence, he tried to prepare them for perseverance in his service. He kept calling them to what was primary by means of what was secondary, that is, through foreshadowings to the reality, through things of time to the things of eternity, through things of the flesh to the things of the spirit, through earthly things to the heavenly things. As he said to Moses, You will fashion all things according to the pattern that you saw on the mountain. For 40 days Moses was engaged in remembering the words of God, the heavenly patterns, the spiritual images, the foreshadowings of what was to come. St. Paul says, they drank from the rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. After speaking of the things that were in the law, he continues, all these things happened to them as symbols. They were written to instruct us on whom the end of the ages has come. Through foreshadowings of the future, they were learning reverence for God and perseverance in his service. The law was therefore a school of instruction for them and a prophecy of what was to come. The law was our guardian until Christ came and made it possible for us to be reconciled to God by faith.
And now that the time of faith has come, we are under that guardian no longer.
Before the time of faith came, the law kept us strictly in check, watching us closely until faith should be revealed.
And now that the time of faith has come, we are under that guardian no longer.
Let us pray. Keep your family, O Lord, schooled always in good works, and so comfort them with your protection here, as to lead them graciously to gifts on high, through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen.
25 minutes before the hour, we'll check out today's Gospel and In Conversation with God and Morning Prayer in just a few minutes. This is Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app for Wednesday of the second week of Lent. I'm Paul Sadek. In today's Gospel from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, the mother of James and John has a bold request of Jesus. And as always, he uses it as an opportunity to teach. It's from the 20th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew.
As Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside.
Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to be mocked and scourged and crucified. And he will be raised on the third day.
Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came up to him with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked him for something.
What do you want?
Command that these two sons of mine may sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom.
You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink?
James and John said to him,
We are.
We are able.
You will drink my cup. But to sit at my right hand and at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father.
When the 10 heard it, they were indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus called them to him.
You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many.
This selection from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, courtesy of Falcon Picture Group. All of the daily and Sunday Mass readings are on the Relevant Radio app. Penance and mortification sound kind of negative, don't they? But for most of us, they consist of a lot of little things that happen every day, and how we approach them. Today's reading from In Conversation with God by Father Francisco Fernandez Carvajal is from Volume 2, Lent and Eastertide. When that woman made her motherly request, Jesus asked his disciples, "Can you drink of the chalice The Lord knew that they could imitate his passion, but nonetheless he asked them, so that for us too it is made clear that no one can reign with Christ who has not previously imitated his passion. For highly valued things are not obtained except at a high price. Christian life cannot exist without sacrifice. This is its price. The Lord has saved us with his cross. With his death he has turned to give us hope, the right to life. We cannot follow Christ if we do not recognize him as our Savior, if we do not honor him in the mystery of the cross. The Lord turns suffering into a means of redemption. With his pain, he has redeemed us, provided we never refuse to unite our sorrow to his and to make it, together with his, into a means of redemption. From now on, sorrow will always be able to associate itself with the Lord's chalice, to unite itself to his passion for the redemption of all mankind. What previously was meaningless now makes sense in Christ. We too can say, therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which in Christ Jesus goes with eternal glory. By my pride in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die every day. Mortification and a life of penance to which Lent beckons us have co-redemption as a principal reason, a participation in the sufferings of Christ, taking part in the very chalice of the Lord. We are the first beneficiaries, but the supernatural effectiveness of our sorrow offered up and of our voluntary mortification reaches out to the whole church and even to the entire world. This voluntary mortification is a means of purification and atonement. It is necessary if we are to be able to converse with the Lord in prayer, and it is indispensable for apostolic activity, for action is worth nothing without prayer. Prayer grows in value with sacrifice. We practice a spirit of penance and of sacrifice in our daily lives, in the ordinary events of the day, without having to wait for extraordinary occasions. Penance is fulfilling exactly the timetable you have fixed for yourself, even though your body resists or your mind tries to avoid it by dreaming up useless fantasies. Penance is getting up on time and also not leaving for later without any real reason that particular job that you find harder or most difficult to do. Penance is knowing how to reconcile your duties to God, to others, and to yourself by making demands on yourself so that you find enough time for each of your tasks. You are practicing penance when you lovingly keep to your schedule of prayer despite feeling worn out, listless, or cold. Penance means being very charitable at all times towards those around you, starting with the members of your own family. It is to be full of tenderness and kindness towards the suffering, the sick, and the infirm. It is to give patient answers to people who are boring and annoying. It means interrupting our work or changing our plans when circumstances make this necessary, above all when the just and rightful needs of others are involved. Penance consists in putting up good-humoredly with the 1,001 little pinpricks of each day, in not abandoning your job although you have momentarily lost the enthusiasm with which you started it, in eating gladly whatever is served without being fussy. For parents, and in general for those whose work involves supervision or teaching, penance is to correct whenever it is necessary. This should be done bearing in mind the type of fault committed and the situation of the person who needs to be so helped, not letting oneself be swayed by subjective viewpoints, which are often cowardly and sentimental. A spirit of penance keeps us from becoming too attached to the vast imaginative blueprints we have made for our future projects, where we have already foreseen our master strokes and brilliant successes. What joy we give to God when we are happy to lay aside our third-rate painting efforts and let Him put in the features and colors of His choice. In Conversation with God by Francis Fernandez is published by Scepter Publishers, and you'll find it at your local Catholic bookstore. It's 15 minutes before the hour. Let's pray with the whole church. We're led by our friends at DivineOffice.org in morning prayer.
God, come to my assistance.
Lord, make haste to help me.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
O God, all your ways are holy. What God can compare with our God?
O God, all your ways are holy. What God can compare with our God?
I cry aloud to God. Cry aloud to God that he may hear me.
In the day of my distress, I sought the Lord. My hands were raised at night without ceasing. My soul refused to be consoled. I remembered my God, and I groaned. I pondered, and my spirit fainted.
You withheld sleep from my eyes. I was troubled. I could not speak. I thought of the days of long ago, and I remembered the years long past. At night I mused within my heart. I pondered, and my spirit questioned.
Will the Lord reject us forever? Will he show us his favor no more? Has his love vanished forever? Has his promise come to an end? Does God forget his mercy or in anger withhold his compassion?
I said, this is what causes my grief, that the way of the Most High has changed. I remember the deeds of the Lord. I remember your wonders of old. I muse on all your works and ponder your mighty deeds.
Your ways, O God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? You are the God who works wonders. You showed your power among the peoples. Your strong arm redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph.
The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you and trembled. The depths were moved with terror. The clouds poured down rain. The skies sent forth their voice. Your arrows flashed to and fro.
Your thunder rolled around the sky. Your flashes lighted up the world. The earth was moved and trembled when your way led through the sea, your path through the mighty waters, and no one saw your footprints.
You guided your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning,
is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Father, you established your ancient covenant by signs and wonders. But more wondrously, you confirmed the new one through the sacrifice of your Son. Guide your church through the pathways of life that we may be led to the land of promise and celebrate your name with lasting praise.
O God, all your ways are holy.
What God can compare with our God? My heart leaps up with joy to the Lord, for he humbles only to exalt us.
My heart leaps up with joy to the Lord, for he humbles only to exalt us.
My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in my God.
I have swallowed up my enemies. I rejoice in my victory. There is no Holy One like the Lord. There is no rock like our God.
Speak boastfully no longer, nor let arrogance issue from your mouths. For an all-knowing God is the Lord, a God who judges deeds.
The bows of the mighty are broken, while the tottering gird on strength. The well-fed hire themselves out for bread, while the hungry batten on spoil. The barren wife bears 7 sons, while the mother of many languishes.
The Lord puts to death and gives life. He casts down to the nether world. He raises up again. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He humbles, he also exalts.
He raises the needy from the dust. From the ash heap, he lifts up the poor, to seat them with nobles and make a glorious throne their heritage.
For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will guard the footsteps of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall perish in the darkness. For not by strength does man prevail. The Lord's foes shall be shattered.
The Most High in heaven thunders. The Lord judges the ends of the earth. Now may he give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed.
Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was
in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
My heart leaps up with joy to the Lord, for he humbles only to exalt us.
The Lord is King, let the earth rejoice.
The Lord is King, let the earth rejoice.
The Lord is King, let earth rejoice. Let all the coastlands be glad. Cloud and darkness are his raiment, his throne, justice and right.
A fire prepares his path. It burns up his foes on every side. His lightnings light up the world. The earth trembles at the sight.
The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The skies proclaim his justice. All people see his glory.
Let those who serve idols be ashamed, those who boast of their worthless gods. All you spirits, worship him.
Zion hears and is glad. The people of Judah rejoice because of your judgments, O Lord.
For you indeed are the Lord, most high above all the earth, exalted far above all spirits.
The Lord loves those who hate evil. He guards the souls of his saints. He sets them free from the wicked.
Light shines forth for the just, and joy for the upright of heart. Rejoice, you just, in the Lord. Give glory to his holy name.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning,
is now. And will be forever. Amen. Let us pray. Father, you clothe the sky with light and the depths of the ocean with darkness. Among the sons of men you work wonders and rain terror upon the enemy. Look upon your servants. Do not try us by fire, but bring us rejoicing to the shelter of your home.
The Lord is King. Let the earth rejoice.
A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. The Lord your God has chosen you from all the nations on the face of the earth to be a people peculiarly his own. It was because the Lord loved you and because of his fidelity to the oath he had sworn to your fathers that he brought you out with his strong hand from the place of slavery, and ransomed you from the land of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Understand, then, that the Lord your God is God indeed, the faithful God, who keeps his merciful covenant to the thousandth generation toward those who love him and keep his commandments. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. God himself will set me free from the hunter's snare.
God himself will set me free from the hunter's snare.
From those who would trap me with lying words. And from the hunter's snare. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
God himself will set me free from the hunter's snare.
The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many.
Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free.
He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David.
Through his holy prophets, he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us.
He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant.
This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life.
You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins.
In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Let us pray. Let us give thanks to God our Father. Through the power of the Spirit, he purifies our hearts and strengthens us in love. Let us humbly ask him.
Lord, give us your Holy Spirit.
Help us to receive good things from your bounty with deep sense of gratitude.
And to accept with patience the evil that comes to us.
Lord, give us your Holy Spirit. Teach us to be loving, not only in great and exceptional moments,
but above all, in the ordinary events of daily life. Lord, give us your Holy Spirit.
May we abstain from what we do not really need,
and help our brothers and sisters in distress.
Lord, give us your Holy Spirit. May we bear the wounds of your Son,
for through his body he gave us life. Lord, give us your Holy Spirit.
And to these intercessions, we pause to add the prayers of our own hearts.
Lord, give us your Holy Spirit.
Let us conclude our prayers with the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Keep your family, O Lord, schooled always in good works, and so comfort them with your protection here, as to lead them graciously to gifts on high. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen.
May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Morning Air is coming up next. I'm Paul Sadek. I'll see you tomorrow morning on St. Patty's Day, 4 a.m. Central or on the app. You go out now and make this a great day and live in the light of the Lord.
Audio from the Liturgy of the Hours, courtesy of DivineOffice.org. Readings from In Conversation with God, courtesy of Scepter Publishers. Selections from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, courtesy of Falcon Picture Group. 10 Minutes with Jesus is used with permission. Daybreak is available on RelevantRadio.com and on the Relevant Radio app. Daybreak is a production of Relevant Radio.